Good afternoon, brethren. Nice to see everybody back again, almost. It seems like still a few that aren't coming, so we hope that that changes here soon, and we can get everybody back and going. Today, I want to talk about God's will. God's will. Many Christians recite the Lord's Prayer. They ask that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But do they understand what they're asking? Do they really know what God's will is and how it impacts their lives? A lot of people are confused about God's will. It is a complete mystery to many. There should be no confusion. It is not a mystery. God has made his will known. The accomplishment of his will is something to get excited about. So it is no mystery. The Apostle Paul said we would be wise to know God's will. In Ephesians 5, verse 17, he said, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." He said that it is not a mystery. In Ephesians 1:9. Let's look at that. Ephesians 1:9. "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." And he prayed that believers might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It has been God's will from before the foundations of the earth were laid that the time will come when we appear before him to receive an inheritance. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now that was in Ephesians 1:10 through 12. It is his will that we become his children. Let's look at Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." In order to comprehend what we are requesting when we ask that God's will be done, we need to understand what all spiritual blessings in heavenly places includes, and what it means to be in Christ. how that transforms us so we are holy, without blame, and perfected in love. Now we're going to talk about all of those things. So let's look at spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Spiritual blessings that God has in store for those who are in Christ are greater than we can imagine. Because as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. During his famous Sermon on the Mount, Christ indicated what those blessings will be. Let's look in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 9. Matthew 5, 3 through 9. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the righteous nature of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He said, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In 2 Corinthians 6:18. It is God's will that we become his children and share those blessings as joint heirs with Christ. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. It is no mystery. He has revealed these things to us to know. This is what we should pray for. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? Those who are in Christ are being created in the likeness of Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. We receive Christ's Spirit. So let's look at Galatians 4:6. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6. That Spirit empowers us to become sons and daughters of God, just like Christ. In John 1:12, we won't turn there, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. It enables us to be like Christ. We receive the Spirit through belief or faith in Christ. Let's look at Galatians 3. Verses 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Beginning in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise made to Abraham in Genesis 12:3, that all families on earth will be blessed through a descendant of his, is being fulfilled by Christ Jesus. Through him we are blessed. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Of course, that's Genesis 1:26. Notice the use of the words us and our, which indicate that God is more than one person. According to the Apostle John, there was another spirit being with God, the Father, called the Word, by whom all things were created. Let's look at John 1, verses 1 through 4. John 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It was the Word who later became Jesus Christ. And in the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's in verse 14. This clearly indicates that there were two members of what can only be described as the God family. The patriarch, who we know as God, the Father, and the Word who became Jesus Christ. Christ was the Father's firstborn son. Although Christ became human, he is still part of the Godhead, or deity, or family. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. Colossians 2:9. Together they created mankind in their physical likeness and placed us on this earth to be perfected in their spiritual likeness. The spiritual aspect of the creation is still taking place till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. The more we grow in knowledge of Christ, the more we grow in God's favor. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Christ is our example. He is the express image of his Father, and we are being created in his likeness. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. That is God's will. So we are to be transformed. Paul said that if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It means that a transformation takes place. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. Our mind is transformed by Christ's Spirit. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Of course, Philippians 2:5. It is to be renewed to become like Christ's. The Spirit of Christ also is referred to as both the Spirit of God and Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:9, if you want to turn there, says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is not his." The Holy Spirit is the very essence, mind, and divine righteous nature of the God family. It is the spiritual essence of both the Father and the Son. Christ is described as the expressed image of the Father. Not only are the Father and Christ holy, they are also spirit beings. Just a couple of scriptures on that would be John 4:24 and 2 Corinthians 3:17. They are by definition Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit by Christ because it is through Christ that God creates all things, as we read in John 1, verses 1 through 4. It is received when we repent and are baptized into Christ's name, as is outlined in Acts 2:38. If we do not have his Spirit, then we are not in Christ. The transformation of our minds can only take place when we receive the Holy Spirit from Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 16. Beginning in verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is in us. In us is the very mind and nature of Christ. When we receive the Holy Spirit from Christ, we actually receive a portion of the very spiritual essence of God. It is like receiving an implant of spiritual DNA. The same spiritual DNA that is in both the Father and Christ is now in us. This is what it meant by God dwelling in us. There are many scriptures, especially in John, that talk of Christ and the Father living in us and we in them. Just a couple would be John 6:56 and John 14:10 through 11, 16 through 17, and 20 and 23. It is like receiving a seed from which the characteristics of God's divine nature develop within us. Over time, we learn to live God's way, and those developing characteristics will bear the fruit of God's divine nature to perfect us in Christ. Without the Spirit of Christ, we cannot become righteous like Him. But with His Spirit, we can produce much fruit. Excuse me. As it says in John 15:5, says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In bearing fruit, we bring glory to God. Let's drop down to John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. He has ordained that the spiritual fruit we develop will remain in us. He said in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. He will give you. It will remain until we are resurrected to spirit ourselves. So God says that we need to be holy. As that divine nature develops in us, we become holy. But as he who called us is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16. To be holy means to be set apart. God is holy. His inherent righteousness sets him apart from mankind. Righteousness means that he is right, good, true, and just in everything he does and says. His righteousness is established in love. God is love, as it says in John 4:8. Man, on the other hand, does not have that inherent righteousness. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. Human nature is an unrighteous mixture of good and evil, motivated by selfishness, envy, and greed. It prevents us from inheriting the blessings God has prepared. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, because it is not compatible with God's righteousness. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:14. The righteousness that sets God apart is the same righteousness that makes Jesus Christ holy. If we are to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, we must also become holy like God. Because we don't have the righteous nature of God, a change in our nature is required so we can be holy or set apart like Him. So we need to be without blame. To be without blame means to be without sin. As it says in 1 John 3:4, and we have all sinned because we have all broken God's laws, and the only way to be without sin is to be forgiven for our transgressions. That forgiveness comes only through the grace of God. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Romans 1:6-7. God's grace incorporates His love and mercy toward us when we truly repent of our sins. When we have been forgiven of sin, we no longer are under the death penalty incurred by those sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Very familiar to all of us. It does not mean we will not sin again. Indeed, as physical human beings, we are fighting a constant spiritual battle to overcome sin for the rest of our physical lives. But each time we sin, we can seek God's mercy and forgiveness for those sins through repentance. Although Jesus Christ has already paid the penalty for our sins through the sacrifice of His own life, we are still required to repent and overcome sin. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my sons or daughters. Revelation 21:7. It is not until we are resurrected as spirit beings in the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ that we can come before God without blame. In other words, permanently free from sin to receive our inheritance. So remember, it must be in love. To come before God in love is to come before Him with the same righteous nature that is in Christ, who is the express image of His Father. Hebrews 1:3. It is a righteous nature that is established in and motivated by love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. I'm not talking about sentimental emotion that most call love, but a genuine outgoing and righteous concern for the welfare of others. God wants us to come before Him with a sort of love defined in the Bible as benevolent or brotherly love, which is translated from the Greek word agape as charity or love. The Holy Spirit is given to us for our own personal development. By focusing on the attributes defined as fruit of the Spirit and developing them with God's help, from an aspect of love, our minds will be transformed to be like Christ. Having the mind of Christ in us, we can come before the Father with a mind that is the epitome of love. Perfected in the fullness of Christ's stature as joint heirs with him. The Bible says that we cannot receive our inheritance while still in our present physical form. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:50. So we will be resurrected to spirit in a state of holiness to be Holy Spirit like the Father and Christ. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Our creation in God's image will then be complete, and we will be able to receive our inheritance. We will be created in Christ's likeness and accepted into God's family to receive our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is not only our guarantee that God's will is to be done, but it is the power by which it will be accomplished. But as it says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. It also bears witness of our relationship with God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:14 and then 16 and 17. There should be no confusion about God's will. It is not a mystery. He has made it known that we are to become his children, receiving all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places when we come before him in Christ. How that transforms us so we are holy, without blame, perfected, and in love. That is God's will, and it is being accomplished right now, here on earth, in the lives of those who are in Christ. Have a good afternoon, brethren.